Yeah, because I never heard Rodrigo's vote. But anyway.
I haven't heard.
Yeah,
okay.
He voted yes.
No, he did not.
I thought he voted no.
No,
no,
he
did.
I'm sorry, who?
Rodrigo, he voted no.
I heard a no.
Oh.
I heard it, yeah.
I didn't hear him at all, so there we go.
That's right.
Rodrigo, how do you vote?
He clarified himself. How did you vote, Rodrigo?
I never heard Rodrigo's voice at all, so where is he?
I know. So is that the 12th one that you all are counting?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Rodrigo, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. Yes, I voted yes because we had a lot of problems with this situation, you know, before. So I don't feel that we have to go to the same thing, you know, before, because I mean that was part of that situation we had. We had to solve that situation. So I voted yes.
Thank you. He voted yes. So people were correct on that.
12 yes and 6 no.
Thank you. Okay, very good. Okay, so that one passes, 12 yes, 6 no. If you could note, that one was approved by the P&B. We can move on to the next one. Thank you, folks. We're almost there on this part of it. Okay, proposed amendment number 9. That was number 8 that just passed. Yep, okay, good. All right. Number 9, re-FTV droop threshold, Article 15, Section 1. Single transferable voting methods, paragraph 3. Background, this would fix an error in the bylaws dealing with how the threshold is calculated for FTV ballot counting. It says to take the integral part of the... Folks, I can't even hear myself, and I'm sitting with myself. If you are not speaking, please mute your phones, #1. Thank you. Background, this would fix an error in the bylaws dealing with how the threshold is calculated for FTV ballot counting. It says to take the integral part of the fraction in the calculation rather than retaining the fraction. I do not know who wrote these backgrounds, so I think all the NESs, National Election Supervisors, have been doing what the amendment says, but the bylaws don't say this. See these articles if you'd like an independent statement about dropping the fractional part. Okay, so that was a Scribner's error. It says a droop threshold. It should say drop threshold. And it's got two links to go and take a look at this. Current text. 3, a threshold number of votes a candidate needs to be elected shall then be established. Threshold. The threshold shall be that number which is equal to the total number of valid ballots cast divided by the sum of 1 plus the number of seats to be filled plus 1, total number of valid ballots cast, 1 plus the number of seats to be filled plus 1. Proposed text, 3, a threshold number of votes a candidate needs to be elected shall then be established. Threshold. The threshold shall be that number which is equal to the integer part of the total number of valid ballots cast divided by the sum of 1 plus the number of seats to be filled plus 1, integer part of total number of valid ballots cast, 1 plus the number of seats to be filled plus 1. And if that made it clear for you, I'm glad. so, Zach. Oh, and this was proposed. I'm sure I'm signed onto this one, too. Bill Crozier, Summaries, Carolyn Burden, Tracy Rosenberg, Ken Aaron, Teresa Allen, and Jessica Apollinar, because we shepherded all the orphans. Zach, discussion. Anyone?
Oh, Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Again, this came out of the election committee last year, exact same text as was before, just didn't get approved because only two of the delegate assemblies met. I know it's kind of technical, but if you look at any of those three references, they all say to do it the way the proposed text is. That you take the integer part of that fraction. In other words, you drop the fractional part.
Thank
you. And that's, again, that's, yeah, like you said, that's what the NESs have been doing, but it's not what the bylaws say.
Thank you.
Carolyn here.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah, as far as the technical aspects of this go, I am advising everyone to trust Bill. This came out of the committee. It was well researched. And it's accurate, correct. It should pass.
Thank you. Anyone else? Are there any objections? Oh, my goodness. And hearing none?
Without objection.
Thank you, everyone. Madam Secretary, if you could please note, proposed amendment number 9 passes without objection. I'm sorry, do you object?
Yes, I do object.
Fantastic. Let's have a vote. Do you wish to speak before we vote?
I think
who is this, please, speaking?
Speak up, Laura. It's hard to hear you. Go ahead,
Laura,
please.
This amendment makes it too difficult to follow the democratic process and recall someone.
We're not on that amendment.
What amendment is it again?
This is number 9. This is just dealing with the mathematical fractions and whether or not they're retained. Do you wish me to reread it?
No.
It's number 9 is the one we're on right now.
Perhaps then she withdraws her objection.
And let me give her a moment to decide if that's what
the
she
STV
wishes.
The STV group threshold?
Yeah, I should say drop. That is a actually
no,
a...
Okay. All right, never mind.
No, that is group.
It is. Well, it says drop later on. One of them is an error.
Droop is the name of the man who invented the method.
You got to be kidding me. Okay.
It's true. I looked it up.
Okay, man. I'm good then. Beautiful. No Scribner's errors. Just some confusion. Okay. Any objection to proposed amendment number 9?
Without objection.
And hearing none. Pass without objection. Thank you, Madam Secretary. If you could go ahead and note for the record, proposed amendment number 9 passes without objection. Well, in the home stretch, this is the last one.
Madam Chair, this is Ken. I'm the main person who put up amendment 10. I wanted to make an amendment to it. Can I do that at this time or after you read it?
You can't do that. I'm sorry. There's nothing that can be amended. What do you mean by amended? It has to have been up on...
I just wanted to remove one sentence.
Hey, too late.
Too late? Okay.
Like, I hate to ruin your day, but it's been up for 60 days. This is it.
Okay, good enough.
I don't think we can do anything with it but pass it or not pass it at this point.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. Belongs to the public, not just us at this point. Proposed amendment number 10, removal of delegates. Article 4, I think there's supposed to be one article there. Article 4, Section 9, removal of delegates. This is going to take a minute to read, so folks, we're going to add a couple minutes if we want to discuss, all right? So, background. The amendment intends to protect the Foundation and the PNB from organizational instability and financial distress and establishes the highest threshold of participation by members seeking removal of a delegate. The petition threshold is raised to 10%. And must be accomplished in a 90-day period, and the cost of the election must be borne by the members seeking the removal. The delegate's rights to respond to the allegations has been protected. Current text, and my apologies in advance because this is a little bit verbose. Any delegate shall be removed from the position of delegate and cease to be a delegate upon the occurrence of any of the following. A, said delegate's death or resignation. B, upon the occurrence of a disqualifying act, e.g., the appointment to an elected political office. C, failure of a delegate to attend 3 consecutive local station board meetings, which absences have not been excused by a majority vote of the LSB members present at the meetings in question. D, upon the fair and reasonable determination by 2/3, Scrivener's error corrected by Secretary, September 2003, vote of all the directors of the foundation, or a 2/3 vote of all the delegates for the same radio station as the delegate in question, at a meeting on said issue, after review of the facts that, in its sole discretion, said delegate has exhibited conduct that is adverse to the best interests of the foundation or the radio station. Or E, upon the majority vote of the class of members associated with the radio station who originally elected the delegate, voting by written ballot in an election to remove said delegate, provided that a quorum is established by written ballot, and further provided that before any such election may be held, the secretary of the appropriate local station board shall first have received a petition signed by at least 2% of the appropriate class of members affiliated with that radio station seeking said delegate's removal due to conduct by the delegate that is specifically alleged in the petition to be adverse to the best interests of the foundation or the local radio station. In the event of a removal proceeding pursuant to this section 9D or 9E, the delegate must be afforded reasonable and appropriate due process according to the circumstances. including notice and an opportunity to be heard at the meeting or in writing if a written ballot is submitted to the members. Any delegate who is removed who was simultaneously serving as a foundation director or an officer of the foundation or an LSB shall also be deemed removed from any and all of these positions and from any positions on a committee that she, he held by reason of his, her role as a delegate or director. Notice of a meeting to remove a delegate must be given in writing at least 30 days in advance. A delegate removed pursuant to this section 9D or 9E shall not be eligible for re-election as a delegate for a period of 3 years. Breath. Proposed text. Revised text. Any delegate shall be removed from the position of delegate and cease to be a delegate upon the occurrence of any of the following. A. Said delegate's death or resignation. B. Upon the occurrence of a disqualifying act, e.g. the appointment to an elected political office. C. Failure of a delegate to attend 3 consecutive local station board meetings, which absences have not been excused by a majority vote of the LSB members present at the meetings in question. D. Upon the fair and reasonable determination by a two-thirds, I'm skipping the Scrivener's error, vote of all the directors of the foundation, or a two-thirds vote of all the delegates to the same radio station as the delegate in question, at a meeting on said issue, after a review of the facts, that, in its sole discretion, said delegate has exhibited conduct that is adverse to the best interests of the foundation or the radio station, or E. Upon the majority vote of the class of members associated with the radio station who originally elected the delegate voting by written ballot in an election to remove said delegate, which shall be held in combination with the next regularly scheduled election for that class of member, and that funds are provided in advance by those seeking the delegate's removal to cover any additional costs that will be incurred and provided that a quorum is established by written ballot, and further provided that before any such election may be held, the secretary of the appropriate local station board shall first have received a petition signed by at least 10% of the appropriate class of members affiliated with that radio station seeking said delegate's removal due to conduct by the delegate that is specifically alleged in the petition to be adverse to the best interests of the foundation or the local radio station. The delegate has the right to generate a response to the charges, which is submitted, must be presented when signatures are being solicited for the petitions, and the signers must attest to having seen this response. The petition signatures must have been acquired over a period of not more than 90 consecutive calendar days. Violation of these requirements and acquisition of even one signature is cause for invalidation of the entire petition. The seeker's allegations and the delegate's response, if provided, must be presented to the class of member in the election, the cost of which will be paid for by the seekers of the removal. In the event of a removal proceeding pursuant to this section 9D or 9E, the delegate must be afforded reasonable and appropriate due process according to the circumstances, including notice and an opportunity to be heard at the meeting or in writing if a written ballot is submitted to the members. Any delegate who is removed who is simultaneously serving as a foundation director or an officer of the foundation or an LSB shall also be deemed removed from any and all of these positions and from any positions on a committee that she, he held by reason of his, her role as a delegate or director. Notice of a meeting to remove a delegate must be given in writing at least 30 days in advance. A delegate removed pursuant to this section 9D or 9E shall not be eligible for re-election as a delegate for a period of 3 years. The proposed amendment from Bill Crozier, Summer Reese, Carolyn Burden, Ken Aaron, Alex Steinberg, and Bruce Wolf. Discussion.
Ken?
Alex?
Lydia?
Anybody else?
Ken? Laura want to speak to this?
Laura? Okay. Ken? Go.
Can I go?
Yes, sir. Please do.
Laura's interjection on the previous amendment was correct. The intent of this amendment is to make it significantly more difficult to have a recall election occur and to defray the cost of it. The reasons are the current threshold is too low and allows a subset of the membership to impugn the rights of the majority of the membership that elected a delegate to office by running a recall and causing the station to have to go through the nearly entire expense of a regular election. The intent here is if they get a higher threshold, we can have the recall as long as it's during the next regularly scheduled election. If it's not, then the petitioners can pay the expense. Otherwise, any faction that wants to break apart the network and go back to five separate stations can create extreme duress by running three or four recall elections a year, because it's only required to get 2% on the petition. And any alleged the detrimental action can be made. It can be say that it can be said that the person's attire to the board and therefore detrimental to the network. And it's always a subjective judgment as to whether or not the acts were detrimental. In my viewpoint, I've seen recall petitions accusing people of helping promote the station and programs, and that's been considered detrimental. So that's how perverse it can get. And also, I know that the one of the members submitted this to the council, Foundation Council, for an opinion about whether or not this would require approval by all the members, because it affects their voting rights. And the bylaws require that all members of a class whose voting rights are affected by an amendment have to approve that amendment. That may be, and if so, then it will be. However, we have to recognize that a recall election violates the rights of the people who elected the delegate. A subset of those people that elected the delegate can now cause a challenge to that seating. And to speak very frankly and honestly, we all know in the fact that we fall into political alignment, or agenda alignment, or faction alignment, whatever you want to call it, this amendment can and has been used maliciously to cause duress, and it also, the presence of it in the low threshold, acts as an inhibition on the delegate's ability to take responsibility for actions which might not be popular in some section.
Thank you, Ken.
I am trying to raise the threshold to keep recalls reserved for extremely difficult situations where someone's embezzling funds or some significant thing that is harmful to the foundation, not upsetting to a few of the members.
Thank you. Alex?
Yes, in the interest of shortening our session, I'm not going to repeat everything Ken just said, because I agree with just about everything he said. The one thing I might add is, if you want evidence of the nature of our recall elections, and I believe every single one of them that have come up have been factionally motivated, the evidence is pretty obvious. If a person did something so egregious as they should be recalled, then it shouldn't be a difficult matter to get two-thirds of the delegates to vote to recall that member. The fact that some people feel they cannot get that two-thirds threshold is a pretty clear indication that there's a factional motivation behind recall campaign, and therefore they go to the election method of trying to get someone recalled, because our threshold for election recall is artificially far too low. And I believe, as a further point, it's probably out of compliance with California legal code at this point, which also intends to have a high threshold for a recall election, simply because, as Ken pointed out earlier, if you do recall someone, you are, in effect, overturning a previous election. And you better have some pretty good reasons for doing that, and the threshold for doing so should be set fairly high. Thank you.
Thank you. Lydia.
Yes, well, I want to clarify. I've seen, number one, I strongly believe that as the Civic Council also had agreed, that a membership vote would be required here. But in addition to that, is that I've seen some emails saying, well, maybe we can have the ballot sent out when we have our election next year. And the bylaws, in terms of an amendment by a membership vote, requires a 60-day period after the PMB and the LSC delegates vote to send to have that election. So you would not be able to send out these ballots. That's just a matter of information. But it is not simple to get even a 2% of the listeners. And just as in a regular election, which would be part of the metric that would be looked at were this challenge somewhere in the universe, and just as in a regular out-in-the-world election, you sign a petition, it is not equal to a large quorum of the entire electorate, for sure. It's always relative. This is very much in keeping with that kind of a quorum metric. So that's how you first get the petition, and, of course, then the vote is by the membership. And so it is still the membership. I fully believe that would be upheld were it to be challenged. But, again, this would require a membership ballot, which is fine. The members should have that opportunity. I will oppose this on several levels, but won't take up any more time. And, again, this cannot be mailed out with our ballots next year, so it would right now incur that cost.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry, who is that?
This is Nia.
All right, I've got Laura up next. I'm sure we're at time. We're going to have to do all that stuff. So, Laura?
Bill.
Oh. Laura, are you there? And if not,
Madam Chair, did you hear Campbell?
I heard Campbell, Nia, and Bill. Sorry, somebody's back.
Are we doing one pro and one con, or
we're past that? I'm. This is probably one of the most controversial ones. I apologize. The radio station's being vacuumed, so if you're hearing a vacuum in the background, I can't do anything about it.
And we're way past time.
I know we're way past time. So, is there a motion to extend 5 minutes to hear the rest of the people who want to speak on this, or not?
Madam Chair, point of order.
Yes, Campbell.
You had two people speaking. In favor of this, and only one person got to speak.
Well, Laura,
position thus far, and I don't think that it should be reduced to a extension of time. I think it should be equal time.
Well, I'm here now.
There's Laura. Hey, Laura, you were the one on the stack, so let's have you speak, and then we'll see if people need to extend time or not. Okay? Go ahead, Laura.
I mean, it's just what I said before. I think the threshold for recalling someone is fine at the moment, and we don't need to change it and make it more difficult. That's pretty much it. This amendment clearly makes it more difficult, and the listeners should have an opportunity to be able to recall them, someone, if they want to.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anybody
Madam
else?
Chair, I just had a different point.
Well, we need to do the motion to extend time. I had three people that wanted to be heard. Does someone want to extend time?
So
moved.
Who was the first and who was the second?
I guess I moved and I heard a
Fia. And I second.
Can I? Is that a Fia?
Yeah, no, it's Andrea.
Andrea, sorry, I wasn't sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I presume there's opposition? Is there?
Yes.
Yeah, there is.
Yes,
sure.
I object.
Let's just rock and roll on this, people. We got, okay, so the two-thirds threshold. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll? A yes will extend time by 5 minutes. A no will not. We'll take a vote. Thank you.
Hello?
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 Yes.
Madam Secretary?
I'm finally good.
Afia, can you hear me? Because we can't hear you. Hello.
Well, can Bill do the call?
Sure. Bill, can you call the roll? A yes vote will extend time 5 minutes. A no vote will not. Take the 2-3.
Okay, I heard it.
Is that a Fia?
Yes. Okay. Ken Aaron?
Pass.
Teresa Allen?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you.
Just...
Just to be clear, a yes is to extend time and a no it's not, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
No.
Rodrigo Argueta?
Yes.
Thank you. Ania Bediako?
No.
Wesley Bazin?
Yes.
Who?
Can you hear me, Alan?
I can't hear you.
How do you vote?
Are you calling me? I cannot hear your voice. You're fading in and out.
How do you vote?
Carolyn Burden votes no. Jeff Weaver asking.
Steve Razan?
Yes.
Thank you. Bill Crozier?
No.
Kathy David?
No.
Heather Gray? Campbell Johnson?
And I wasn't dialing in.
But somebody's cat was.
Dialing in multiple
Somebody
votes.
Was, yeah.
So. How do you vote, Campbell?
I vote yes.
I see a vote yes also. Kimberly Orendorf? Can't hear you, Kimberly. Laura Priebus?
Yes.
Marcel Reed? Summer Reese?
I'm going to abstain on this one.
Tracy Rosenberg?
No to the time extension.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're on time extension. Forgive me. No. Sorry.
Dan Siegel? Can you hear Dan? Alex Stein?
Yeah. This is Mia. Can you hear me, Dan?
Stein?
Are you calling me? No.
No, it's Mia.
Andrea, no, it's, I'm not calling. I'm calling Andrea Turner.
I say yes.
Bruce.
I love
you guys. Did Bruce Wolf, I'll say no.
When you get a chance to see it, I'd like to change my vote.
Nia's trying to talk.
You wanted to switch your vote?
Yes, please.
Nia wants to switch the vote?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay. Ken Aaron?
Ken
how
Aaron
do you...
votes no to extending time.
Okay. All right. So let's see. I think that's everybody. Kimberly Orendorf, we didn't hear you. How do you vote? All right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 yes, and 1, 2, 9 yes, actually. Just a moment. Just a moment, people. All right, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 yes. Somebody may need to check on that.
Yeah.
1, 9. You have 9?
I have 9.
I'm checking again. I think it was 9.
Okay.
I have it 9.
Okay, and that includes Nia's switch from no to yes?
Yeah. Mine, I've got Nia's a yes.
Right.
All right, then I'll text your numbers. Fine. And then 9 no's.
Okay, it fails. It's not 2/3. Okay, so we have to take a vote. All right, everybody. We're on the last proposed amendment here, number 10. A yes vote would support the proposed amendment. I'm hearing feedback. I'm on a landline. Sorry, I don't know why. And a no vote would leave things as they currently are in the bylaws. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll on the actual proposed amendment? Thank you.
Aaron.
Yes.
Lisa Allen.
Yes.
Jessica Polinar.
Yes.
Rodrigo Argueta.
No.
Nia Bediaco.
No.
Wesley Bethune. Can't hear you, Wesley.
Abstain.
Thank you. Let's see. Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
Lydia Brazon.
No.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Heather Gray.
Excuse me.
Johnson. Can't hear you, Campbell.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear my name. I vote no.
Okay. Let's see. Evia Wangaza passes. Kimri Orendoff. Can't hear you, Kimri. Laura Priebus.
No.
Marcel Reed. Marcel, can't hear you. Summer Reed.
I'm going to abstain.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes.
Dan Siegel. Kimberly Dan. Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Yes. Andrea Turner?
No. Afia. Thank you.
Thank you. Bruce Wolf?
Yes.
Okay. Bruce Wolf votes yes. And, okay, and Sophia abstains. Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 no's and 2 abstentions.
10 yes, 6 no, 2 abstentions, correct?
No, I think it was 9 yes.
9. 9. 6. Okay, so 9, 6, 2, is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
And I proposed 3 abstentions.
Yeah.
Is that correct? 9, 6, 3?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay, so proposed amendment fails, 9, 6, 3. Thank you. Okay, so we are done with proposed amendments, and it is now 8:16 Pacific, 11:16 Eastern. Thank you, everybody, for voting on the proposed amendments. And we're well past time. We need to triage what we're doing for the next 15 minutes of our lives, or 45 if we decide to go till midnight Eastern. I think we need to go ahead and officially set the date for the in-person PNB meeting, date and location. And then I think the in terms of time sensitivity, the recall issue is the other thing that has to be dealt with this evening, so that any action that has to be taken by the board is taken now. Is there any objection to going forward with those two items? Okay.
Do we need a...
Speak, Carolyn, speak.
Motion to extend?
There's still the issue of whether all the recall stuff needs to be in closed session. So I guess I would propose that we extend for like 12, 13 minutes here in... 11 minutes in open session so that we can cover our meeting notice issues and anything else, and maybe go to half an hour in closed session to deal with the recall issue. It's just a thought. Anyone else have any other thoughts on the matter? And if not, then that's my proposal. Okay. Is there any objection to extending 11 minutes in open session right now?
To deal with that one item?
Yes, I don't think anything else is of a pressing urgency, and obviously it shouldn't take even 11 minutes to deal with that one item. I would like to ask if there's anything urgent that the ED or CFO need to report to us. That might be a good idea, but basically 10 more minutes in open session. Is there any objection to that? Okay. Hearing none. We have discussed, but I don't believe it has been officially brought before the board, that the next in-person meeting of the Pacifica National Board, according to the bylaws, rotating between single areas, et cetera, would be held in Los Angeles, California, and that would be the last weekend in January. I believe we still voted to have a four-day meeting, as we did in D.C., so that would be Friday, January 20th through Monday, January 30th in Los Angeles, California, specific location to be determined. Is there any objection to that? And hearing none, Madam Secretary, if you could please note that officially for the record, the next in-person PNB meeting will be January 27th, Friday through Monday, January 30th in Los Angeles, California. And we'll start planning appropriately. And so that's right around the corner. Okay, thank you. That's handled. Madam Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer, is there anything of exceptional urgency that should be reported out right now in open session or brought to the board's attention, since this has been a particularly long meeting? Arlene or LeVar, are either of you?
I'm not sure if I was muted. Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can. Thank you, Arlene. Go ahead, please.
Okay. We just have an urgency to get an engagement letter for the auditor, so we can move forward.
And besides that, is there anything else?
That would take care of it for tonight.
Okay. Fantastic. Is there anything from LeVar that needs to be added to that, or is that good? Okay. Well, that will give us an extra few minutes to deal with the recall issue. Is there any objection to going into closed session so that we can discuss any procedural issues that the board needs to handle regarding the recall election so that we can move forward with that and stick to our timelines on that? Okay. And hearing none, with everyone's patience, could we go ahead and adjourn to closed session briefly and try to take care of those matters?
Okay.
Okay, everybody. See you in a couple minutes. Thank you.